Well, I think all of us,
Probably all of us have been on a lengthy car ride or a trip of some kind at some point. Whether we were the driver or one of the passengers, sometimes they just seem interminable. And there are the two words that you want to hear more than anything else, that we're almost there. The only thing that's better, of course, is that we're here. That makes it all worthwhile. I remember these trips when I was younger, going to visit my grandparents. Well, if you're driving from just outside of Edmonton to just right around Swift Current, the little town of Aneroid, it's a lengthy trip. We used to do it even lengthier, which I don't remember as well. We used to make that trip from Dawson Creek in northern BC. I'm not quite sure why my parents felt that need to put themselves through that, but they did, and well, I got to know my grandparents out of the deal, so it was worth it. But almost there. Oh, what a wonderful phrase. It suddenly turns the trip from what you thought would never end, at least when you were younger. You had this feeling, well, even now and then, I think when I was the driver, I sometimes thought that this was it. This was going to be my life forever. I was never going to get out of this car. When I was younger, I would never be free of my brothers and their irritants. Never be free of being carsick. When I was younger, I sometimes suffered from that, which was a terrible thing. And we would ask, and everybody who's driven a lengthy trip has had to put up with people saying, "Are we almost there?" One of my responsibilities when I worked at the Bible College was I was a faculty advisor to a youth ministry group. And one of the leaders who did most of the driving, because, well, he was a good driver, and then he knew we'd get where they'd get where they were supposed to, had the unfailing response when these college students would say, "Are we almost there?" You'd say, "Yes." He'd say, "Really? No, not really. But didn't you feel good for a second?" Because the realization that we're almost there makes us feel good. And in this particular case, they're college students. They learned rather rapidly asking Kevin whether we were almost there yet or not was completely futile, so they stopped and they didn't bother him with it. But when we're in the midst of that, hearing that we're almost there makes the trip worthwhile. The tricky thing is the amazing elasticity of the word almost. If you've been driving for 6 hours out of a 7-hour trip, and you're the driver, and at 6 hours somebody asks you if you're almost there, you're going to say, "Yes, we are." If the person who asks is perhaps 5 years old, in a couple of minutes, they're going to call you a liar. At least my kids did. "You said we were almost there." Well, almost at five is very different than when you're in your 30s or 40s, isn't it? Well, I was thinking of this whole idea of being almost there when I was reading our Philippians text, particularly that last paragraph. I was reading how Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Sisters and brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize, which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And what I hear when I read that passage is someone who is moving forward, who is continuing on, realizes that he's almost there. Because what does that little phrase, "almost there," do for us? In the midst of a long trip, and long is equally elastic as almost, whatever a long trip is for you, in the middle of it, when you're in that time of thinking that this is it, this is life, an irritating brother beside you, another one on the other side, and one behind you even, if that's how your car was arranged back in the days before you needed to have seat belts and such, What did you think of? Well, if you're like me, and if you're like most people, I think, you thought of how annoying it was, and how frustrating it was to sit there, how queasy you felt, how this trip was never going to be over. You felt all of those things. At 6 hours into a 7-hour trip, if you're youngish, that's what you're thinking of. You're not thinking that grandpa and grandma are at the other end particularly. You're thinking of how awful it is right now. It's never going to be over, and you wish you were dead. Okay, maybe you're not quite that dramatic as I was when I was younger, but there you go. Then you hear that magic phrase, almost there. And suddenly everything changes. Everything changes. That brother who was so impossibly irritating just moments before, it becomes of no consequence. Why? Has he changed? Well, no, not that you could tell. But you have. Because you're not thinking of the irritating brother beside you. You're thinking of grandpa and grandma. You're thinking of ginger cookies, if your grandma was anything like mine. They lived on a farm, which we certainly did not, so there might be animals to play with. I might get to ride on the tractor with grandpa, and what could be better than that? Nothing. We could ride in the back of the pickup truck. We went from one place to another, something that never happened where we lived in town. All of these things were out there. The last bit of the trip flew by as if it was nothing. What changed? I did. And I changed because I was reminded again of what was at the end. I'd forgotten the outcome. I'd forgotten the destination of the trip because I was young. It's easy to do that when you're young. But it's easy to do that when you're older, too. This is the fifth Sunday in Lent. We're almost there. We're almost to Easter. If you've given up something that's particularly problematic for you this Lenten season, you're almost done with that self-imposed deprivation. If you gave up chocolate or coffee or sleeping in that extra little bit, whatever it might be, it's almost over. But does that mean that the reality of giving that up has changed? No. Tomorrow, when you're desperate for that cup of coffee, you will say, no, it's still Lent. I will not have it. But if perhaps in the first week or two of Lent you found that really difficult, tomorrow perhaps it won't be as difficult because you know you're almost done. The trip is almost over. The frustration of doing without whatever it is you chose to give up is almost done. I see the same kind of thing in Paul's writing. But what Paul's talking about is not the end of a lengthy trip. Not the end of a Lenten season. Paul is looking forward to the end, well, to the end of life. And in a very real sense, we're all almost there. Not because I have some kind of secret knowledge about when any of us are going to die, because of course I don't. But when we think of however long we have between now and that time when we are united with God forever, and we think of forever, the time between now and that beginning is really pretty short. Just around the corner. We're almost there. And one of the things that knowing that we're almost there gives us is this encouragement, this optimism, this sense that I can do it. When you're in the middle of an endless trip, which is what many of those trips felt like to me, and as far as I can tell, felt like to my children, when you're in the middle of the endless trip, it's hard to be optimistic about where you're getting. And it's hard to be encouraged about the trip you're on. If the trip's never going to end, then you may as well focus on what's wrong with it. Because what else is there to do? If your sibling is impossibly annoying, you should try and fix that if this trip is going to be forever. We all know what happens when siblings try to fix each other. At any age, let alone that age, it doesn't work out all that well. But if the trip is endless, that makes sense. But if the trip is almost over, focusing on the irritation of a sibling, this seems kind of silly. Instead of doing that, you're going to get ready for the end of the trip. You're going to tidy things up. You're going to put your shoes back on. You're going to make sure you're wide awake so when you see Grandpa and Grandma at the other end, you don't miss anything. And the last bit of the trip is often the best part of the trip, because you're paying attention to it. And almost paradoxically, you're paying attention to it because now you know it's going to end. You zero in on those things that you can only do here. You can only eat grapes like that when you're in the car. You're not allowed to the rest of the time. Whatever that is, in those last moments between the realization that we're almost there and arrival, can be really wonderful moments to get things done, to finish the last bit of your book, whatever it might be. And if we take that metaphor of a trip and we move it out into who we are, we're almost there. We're almost to the end of our Lenten trip for this year. We're almost there. A time when we'll see God face to face. We're not there yet, but we're almost there, so we have a few things that we need to do. And for Paul, he needed to press on, strain towards what is ahead. Not that he'd finished everything, because of course he hadn't, any more than we have. And if Paul wasn't finished, Paul, with that enormous amount of work that he'd accomplished, if Paul said, I haven't done everything I need to do, who are we to think that we should be done at this stage or any stage? We have things to do until this is over. But because we're almost there, doesn't it make it easier to put up with some of the things we're called to do? Being this close to Easter Sunday, it makes it a lot easier to do those things that we said we were going to do this Lent. And realizing that in light of eternity, the life that we have really isn't that long, gives us encouragement to finish well. But in the same way that it won't be, in one sense, it won't be any easier tomorrow to not drink coffee or not eat chocolate. Those things that we're called to do, the things that Paul was called to do between this moment and the end of his life, it's not that they suddenly became nothing. In the same way that the last hour of the trip doesn't suddenly evaporate, it's not like no time happens. It's that who we are and how we approach that last hour, the last 2 weeks of Lent, the last period of our lives changes. And when we change ourselves, we change everything. It becomes easier to do those things that God has called us to do. To talk to those people about important things. To work on those character defects that we still have. Because we're almost there. Because eternity won't be this. Won't be the struggle. Won't be the work of going again and again back to God saying, I failed again. But that's then. Now is the reality of the life we've been called to. The journey of coming and becoming the people that we were created to be. When we're there, the journey will be over. And all of this stuff will be taken care of, and the irritating siblings will never, you never think of them when you're there. When you're with grandpa and grandma, your siblings are just people to play with. It's great having lots of them. You don't think of the trip then. But looking toward what will be there gives us the encouragement, the energy, the strength, all of those things that we need to continue to there. Because we know that this life, filled with delights and filled with difficulties, isn't all there is. And as we finish, in the same way that Paul finished, we want to finish pressing on, moving forward, and doing so from the sense of what the theologians call imminence, the almost. Because really, we are almost there. Amen.